Good morning, everybody. I'd like to go ahead and call the Senate Finance Committee to order. The time is 9:35 a.m., 11th of April, 2012. With me today is Co-Chair Senator Hoffman, Senator Ellis, Senator Olson, Senator Thomas, Senator Egan, Senator McGuire, and myself, Stedman. We have scheduled five bills on the agenda. First up was going to be Senate Bill 25, the Ada Sustainable Energy Fund. We're going to postpone that and roll it down the calendar today, bring it up later. Senate Bill 160, we'll start with that, which is the capital budget for FY13. And then we're going to hear HB 60, GUI Duck Aquatic Farming Seed Transfer, HB 78, Incentives for Certain Medical Providers, and HB 261, Commercial Fisheries Entry Loans. So with that, I'd like to go ahead and bring up Senate Bill 160 by the governor regarding the FY13 capital budget. This is the 17th hearing on this bill. The intent today is to bring the bill back for the purposes of adopting a committee substitute and look to the will of the committee. With Senator Hoffman, may I have a motion to adopt the committee substitute version X?
Thank you. Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I move the Senate Finance Committee adopt the X version of CS for Senate Bill 160.
And I'll object for explanation and ask Mr. Eiler to come forward, please. If you could introduce yourself for the record and briefly speak to the changes, please.
Good morning, Mr. Chairman, members of the committee. For the record, Weston Eiler, staff to the Senate Finance Committee. Speaking to the changes in the CS, Mr. Chairman, members will have in their packet a report from the Legislative Finance Division that tracks the overall differences and changes between the first and second CS in their packets. The title of the document is Capital Budget House District Summary SCS2 Structure. That shows, Mr. Chairman, overall the differences and changes between the two versions of the bill that have been before the committee. Overall, in aggregate, Mr. Chairman, the committee made, from the first to the second CS, made $87.2 million worth of cuts and added 88.1 in additions. These changes overall net out and don't change the overall total of the bill, Mr. Chairman. Speaking to the changes.
Okay, with that, I'll go ahead and remove my objection for the adoption of the CS. We have further objection to the adoption of the CS. Seeing none, we have adopted version X as our working document. And Mr. Eiler, you want to give us a rundown of the capital budget, please?
Yes, sir. Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, also in your packet, you'll have another report from the Legislative Finance Division, which tracks the totals by House District. I'll reference this just as kind of a good guide mark. I'll just touch on briefly the sections of the bill and their relevance in terms of the committee's work. Overall, Mr. Chairman, beginning in Section 1, this is the bulk of the 2013 capital budget, beginning in the very first section 1. Mr. Chairman, these are governor's and the legislative additions to the capital budget for FY13. They constitute, for the entire section, $2.57 billion in additions, or in projects, excuse me, total. They're broken into several areas, Mr. Chairman, and I'd like to highlight some of the policy areas that the committee has developed during its work on the capital budget. Specifically, Mr. Chairman, several highlighted projects in the area of transportation. This capital budget, the FY13 capital budget, Senate Bill 160, appropriates roughly $710 million in the area of transportation projects. Highlighted projects for that area include the Port of Anchorage for $25 million, statewide digital mapping at $15.9 million, a replacement for the pier in Kodiak Island for $18.1 million, statewide's Roads to Resources package of $81 million, repairs to the state-owned Ketchikan Shipyard of $10 million, and also of note, Mr. Chairman, a $1.5 million appropriation for an Arctic port study to advance scoping and site selection for future investments in Arctic infrastructure. In the area of education, Mr. Chairman, the budget appropriates $340 million worth of projects. Main projects to be highlighted include two engineering buildings at the University of Alaska Anchorage and the University of Alaska Fairbanks, funded at roughly 50% of their estimated cost for a total of $105 million. Additionally, Mr. Chairman, the budget includes $49 million for the State Library Archives Building, or the SLAM facility, to be located here in Juneau. There's also funding of $6 million, Mr. Chairman, for the Fairbanks Pipeline Training Center, also included under education, Mr. Chairman, as this committee has been working on for the last several years. The committee inserted $22.3 million for community library matching grants. This has been a program that the committee has bolstered recently in the past several years. In the area of energy, Mr. Chairman, the budget totals in the neighborhood of $190 million in total projects. These are conservative estimates done by our office. Weatherization and energy rebate programs are funded at $66.5 million. The AEA Renewable Energy Grant, Round 5, is at $25 million. And various regional energy improvements and planning at $45 million. In the area of healthcare, Mr. Chairman, the budget appropriates around $70 million worth of projects. Highlighted projects there include a tribal wellness center in the Kenai for $15 million, a drug treatment center in southwest Alaska for $12.7 million, and various improvements to community hospitals and rural clinics around the state in the neighborhood of $18 million. Again, these are conservative figures. The total for Section 1, Mr. Chairman, is $2.57 billion, and again, that constitutes FY13 capital budget.
Okay. Thank you, Mr. Reiner.
Mr. Chairman, I'll briefly outline kind of some of the other sections in the budget. Many of these are just fund source detail sections. Sections 2 and 3, beginning on page 110, are fund source details for Section 1, again, the FY13 capital appropriations. If you turn to Section 4 on page 116, Mr. Chairman, this is the corresponding appropriating language for the general obligation transportation bond bill that is being considered by the legislature and this committee at this time. Bond bills are not considered as appropriations bills, and so this language is necessary to appropriate funds that are being contemplated to be put before Alaska voters pending the enactment of a bond bill. The total authorization for appropriation is $453 million. Again, this is contingent on enactment of a general obligation bond bill and passage by Alaska voters later this year. Mr. Chairman, on page 120, sections 5 and 6 are again fund source details for the GO bond authorization and appropriation language. Turning to section 7 on page 122, this is the FY12 supplemental capital budget. These are primarily projects that were removed from the fast track supplemental budget considered by this committee earlier in the year. It also includes several amendments that were placed in by the governor, most namely the Alaska Aerospace Corporation launch pad at Kodiak Island. That project is included here with an earlier effective date to allow the corporation to take advantage of the funds and get to work on the project earlier this summer. The total for the section, Mr. Chairman, for FY12 supplemental appropriations is $60.6 million. Sections 8 and 9 of the bill, beginning on page 125, are, again, fund source details for Section 7. Beginning on page 127 in Section 10, Mr. Chairman, this is the FY supplemental operating items. These, again, were items that were removed from the fast-track supplemental considered by the legislature earlier this year and have been rolled back into this appropriations bill for consideration. Total for this section, Mr. Chairman, is $43.5 million. Mr. Chairman, the next section in the budget, sections 11 and 12, beginning at page 129, are just fund source details for for the FY12 operating supplemental that was considered in the previous chapter or section. Beginning on page 131, Mr. Chairman, sections 13 through 17. These are fund transfers and various fund capitalizations, mostly self-explanatory if you'll review them. Section 14 is a special of note, Mr. Chairman, to the committee, $60 million for GM reimbursements that have been requested by the administration. On page 133, sections 18 through 38, these are legislative reappropriations and scope changes for various legislative and state grants. There are 44 of them in total. Mr. Chairman, the committee worked with various offices and the Department of Commerce to identify laps in grants and needed changes in scope for grants currently on the books, and the changes are reflected in these language sections. Let's see, moving forward, Mr. Chairman, to section 39, page 143. This language section would basically relieve and clear out loan balances for certain recipients of the Alaska Municipal Bond Bank in the amount of $13.2 million. Also would include a debt relief for the Inter-Island Ferry Authority of $1.3 million. Mr. Chairman, Section 43 on page 143 contains contingency language that requires the enactment of geobond legislation and voter approval of the bond bill and transportation bond being proposed and authorized appropriations earlier in the bill. Mr. Chairman, the last sections on page 143, sections 44 through 47, are the effective date clauses for these various sections in the bill. Mr. Chairman, that includes an overview and kind of broad scope of the capital budget. Again, the changes overall, Mr. Chairman, capital CS is $2.6 billion, legislative additions to the capital budget, just over $720 million. And Mr. Chairman, that includes an overview of the capital budget. Thanks are also due to the Legislative Finance Division, Rob Carpenter and Amy Foskett, the staff at Legislative Legal, Hillary Martin, Penny Gage in your office, and also the staff and members at the table for their work constructing the budget, as well as my counterpart on the House side for his collaboration. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Okay. Have any questions for Mr. Eiler? Seeing none, thank you, Mr. Eiler. If we can have the cell phones turned off, please. We'll have a brief at ease. Sorry for the delay. We were just double-checking an issue, and everything's copacetic. Senator Hoffman.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I move the Senate Finance Committee pass CS for Senate Bill 160 out of committee to the next committee of referral with individual recommendations.
We have a motion to move the bill from committee with individual recommendations. We have objection. Seeing none, we'll move HB 160 from committee, the next committee, a referral. And we'll move on to the next item on the agenda, which is HB 60 by Representative Seaton regarding the Geoduck Aquatic Farming and Seed Transfer. This is the first hearing on this bill. The intent today is to have the sponsor introduce the bill, take public testimony, and set the bill aside for further review. With us today is Rep. Seaton. You can introduce yourself for the record, who you represent, and tell us what we have in front of us, please.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. My name is Representative Paul Seaton. I am the representative from District 35, which is Homer, Seward, Sildovi, and adjacent communities. House Bill 60 seeks to expand geoduck farming across the Gulf of Alaska. Currently, there's an unofficial policy that Fish and Game just doesn't give permits in other areas other than Southeastern. Gooey duck clams, back up just a little bit, are 1.5 to 2.5 pounds when they are harvested in mariculture operations. They're filter feeders. They don't go out and, you know, aggressively eat anything. They're in muddy tidal flats and subtidal areas. They do not really compete with any other clams. They're in low energy areas, not high energy beaches like you would have hard shell clams or razor clams. They reach maturity in 5 to 7 years, and the really interesting thing is this gives an opportunity for communities all across around the Gulf of Alaska to be able to engage in a new economic development that would not conflict with the salmon and herring seasons and other things, so it expands greatly the ability of mariculture. The thing is that for Southeast Alaska, which has two kinds of industries, one is the dive industry, which harvests wild gooey ducks, and mariculture, there has been conflicts because of the stock. We don't have that of whether you're going to have a farm in an area that is highly productive with wild stock. That's not the case if you go to areas where they're not naturally occurring. We believe that it will be the same situation with gooey ducks as it is with oysters, that as you move up north, they never spawn, and that's probably why they aren't there. And so we're looking at a ideal situation where they can be raised. They're currently raised in the only shellfish hatchery in Alaska, certified hatchery that produces all the gooey duck seeds. Those gooey ducks are taken from Alaska waters only. Nothing is imported. And they are raised and then shipped out to the farms. So all of the other conditions that are on permits, health, safety, those kind of permits are still in place and would be there. We also in this bill say that it would only be subtidal, not intertidal, so it won't conflict with subsistence uses or sports uses, and it doesn't require a lot of buoys on the surface or visual effects such as you have with some of the other farming techniques. So, Mr. Chairman, online, I believe, are Jeff Hetrick of the Aleutic Pride Shellfish Hatchery in Seward, which is, as I say, the only certified shellfish hatchery in Alaska, and also Roger Painter from the Alaska Shellfish Growers Association.
I've got a list here. I'll take care of the public hearing when we get there.
Oh, that's fine.
Continue with your bill, please.
Thank you. And so the areas that this wouldn't, one thing that this wouldn't do is Kachemak Bay, where around Homer is a critical habitat area that, as one of its provisions, does not allow for the bottom farming of shellfish, and this would not override that. But it would allow for all of the other communities around Kodiak, out the chain, Yakutat, to enable themselves of another economic development tool. And so this is a clean, renewable industry that requires clean water. And so I would like to appreciate the committee's consideration of the bill.
We have any questions for the initial bill sponsor? Seeing none, we'll go to the public hearing portion. We have one person in the off-net that would like to testify. If you can please introduce yourself for the record, who you represent, and speak to the bill, please. Jeff Hedrick.
Yes, good morning, Mr. Chairman. This is Jeff Hedrick. I'm the director of the Aleutic Pride Shellfish Hatchery in Seward. We certainly appreciate Representative Seaton's support of the mariculture industry over the years, and this bill reflects that support. It's been a multiple-year process trying to get this through the legislature to allow for the introduction of gooey ducks statewide, specifically South Central. There's been a lot of interest in growing gooey ducks. The ex-vessel value this year was $21 a pound. It by far exceeds any opportunity we have so far in mariculture in Alaska. And as the operator of the shellfish hatchery continue looking for funding sources, opening up these new markets would be of great interest and would serve the hatchery well. We presently have some interest in doing gooey duck farming, some trials in both Resurrection Bay and near Port Graham Village in Lower Cook Inlet. And so there is an interest. We're process right now of making some additional gooey ducks so that if this bill was to pass, we'd be able to try some seeding as early as this fall. We believe that the gooey ducks will grow in South Central and other places around above Southeast Alaska. Reflected in what happens with oysters, they do grow very well in these colder waters, and they are not reproductive. So it's an ideal species to grow. There won't be any conflict with any natural gooey ducks. Any gooey ducks that are grown would be from the mariculture operation. So it's sort of an ideal species, both in terms of its value and the potential impact it'd have on other species. Thank you, sir.
Okay, thank you for your testimony. Next up, Mr. Roger Painter, please. Mr. Painter, you online?
Mr. Chairman, there was a message over the conference here and didn't hear your invitation. For the record, my name is Roger Painter, and I'm president of the Alaskan Shellfish Growers Association. And I'd just like to echo Mr. Hetrick's testimony, and we think this is a good, clean economic development opportunity for South Central Alaska, and support it strongly, and I'd be pleased to answer any questions. Thank you, sir.
Thank you for your testimony. That concludes the off-net. There's no one signed up in the LIOs, and no one has signed up in the room to testify on this bill. So we'll close the public hearing portion. We'll come back to the committee. Committee, have any questions? Final comments by bill sponsor before we set this bill aside?
No, thank you.
Okay, thank you for coming in today. Next up, excuse me, let me back up a bit and just note on the previous bill, House Bill 60, we had 2-0 fiscal notes from the Department of Fish and Game and the Department of Natural Resources. I forgot to mention that. Next up, we've got Senate Bill 78 by Representative Herron regarding incentives for certain medical providers. This is the first hearing on this bill. The intent today is to have the sponsor introduce the bill, take public testimony, and set the bill aside. Representative Herron.
Good morning, Mr. Chairman and members of the Senate Finance Committee. House Bill 78, incentives for certain medical providers. Basically, Alaska needs occupations filled those people are hard to come by. And this would provide financial incentives for our partners that deliver health care around the state to have incentives for people to come up, people that have already have practices that are running, and have them come up and live and work in Alaska in providing these needed occupations.
Okay, do we have any initial questions for the bill sponsor? Seeing none, we'll move to fiscal notes. We have two fiscal notes in your packet, 1-0 fiscal note from the Department of Education, 1 fiscal note from the Department of Health and Social Services in the amount of $2,842,900 for the incentive payments and 1 full-time position. We'll now move to the public hearing portion. If you can please come forward and read, Arlen. The other folks that have signed up so far are just for questions, so. Marie, you know the drill, so.
I'm Marie Darlin, representing AARP, and you have a letter from us which is in support of this. I just want to make a couple of points that we do look at this from the viewpoint of the customer. And so our members are the group that are most likely to need health care services and often the first ones to face some kind of critical health care problems, particularly if they cannot find a provider, and that's what this bill is attempting to do. And if our members cannot find a health care provider, then Alaska's going to be the loser. Alaska now has the highest percentage of older people who decide to stay in their home state after retirement. And the economic value of these retirees is estimated at over $1.7 billion. So if they stay, they do contribute. And we'd want our citizens to stay here after retirement. And the biggest determination of whether or not they're going to stay, of course, is health care. And so therefore, we support this bill and hope you will too, because it certainly will help with these efforts. And with that, we just urge you support it.
Great, thank you. And I've been handed one person from the off-net. If she could introduce herself for the record, who she represents, and speak to the bill, please. Ms. Karen Perdue.
This is Karen Perdue. I'm the president of CEO of the Alaska State Hospital and Nursing Home Association. We represent all the hospitals in Alaska, and we employ about half of the healthcare professionals in the state through our hospitals. We totally support the bill and urge you move the bill out and really think this will help us recruit and retain healthcare professionals. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Thank you for your testimony. That's what we like, short, sweet, and to the point. No misunderstanding that testimony. That concludes the list for the off-nets, and no one signed up at the LIOs, and everybody else is just for questions. So can we have the bill sponsor come forward, please? Do we have any final questions for the bill sponsor? Senator Olson.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I just want to go ahead and voice my strong support for this bill that's going through. I think there is a population here that, with decreasing resources and decreasing medical care of this caliber, I think we need to step on the bandwagon before we are behind the curve, and with that, I fully support this bill.
Okay. Seeing no further questions, final comments from the bill sponsor.
Appreciate your favorable consideration, Senator.
Yeah. Thank you. We'll go ahead and set this bill aside for further review. Next up, before recess, House Bill 261 by Representative Edgman regarding commercial fisheries entry loans. This is the first hearing on this bill. The intent today is to have the sponsor introduce the bill, take public testimony, and set the bill aside for further review. And we have Representative Edgman.
Good morning, Mr. Chairman. For the record, Bryce Edgman, House District 37. The bill before you does two things. It reaches in the Commercial Fishing Revolving Loan Act Fund and increases the ceiling limit for the Section B component from $100,000 to $200,000. And it also allows for Section A applicants, should they qualify, to be able to participate in the Section B component of the Commercial Fishing Revolving Loan Act. And with that, Mr. Chairman, that's House Bill 261.
Okay. We have any initial questions for the bill sponsor? We've got 2-0 fiscal notes from the Department of Commerce, Community and Economic Development, and the Department of Fish and Game. We've got nobody signed up for the from the off-net or the LIOs, and the only person signed up to speak in the room is one-year aide, so we're not going to call him forward. So we'll come back to the committee. We'd send you a lifeline if you needed it, but we figured you could handle the bill.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Do we have other questions for the concerns for the bill sponsor? Seeing none, any final comments by the bill sponsor before we set this bill aside?
No, thank you for scheduling the bill, Mr. Chairman.
Okay, we'll go ahead and set this bill aside for further review. We are in recess. I'd like to come back from recess and adjourn the morning session. We're adjourned.